Making the world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, dude.
Okay.
All right. I feel a little bit better than I did yesterday, and I want to thank you for your good wishes. That probably did it. But anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It is windy, cold, raining. People are holding on to their hoods, their hats. It is so, and this is the end of May. And we here in the city of Chicago, including myself, we have yet to see any signs of spring. They'd say it's coming. Yeah, but if it's coming, it better hurry up because May is just about over. We're on the last leg of May, and Memorial Day actually is coming up. So if you're listening to the show at a later period, you know this is a Memorial Day show. Okay, Memorial. 2017. Okay. All right. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Today is my son's birthday, one of my kids' birthday, and happy birthday, Denver. He's the guy that you hear introducing me to the show. It's recorded, but we're gonna have to update that, you know, get it a more current feel to that recording. So anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm always here Monday through Thursday on the show, and I am totally thinking about getting some sponsors, you know, commercials into the show. I've been thinking about it for a while, but I'm kind of serious on it this time. You know, it's a way to branch out a little bit more. So, you know, so that's gonna happen soon, so get ready for that. And I don't want any cheesy commercials on the show. Something that's gonna help you, help myself, you know, because it's always a learning curve. Everything is a learning curve, folks. You learn every day. You never get too old to learn. If you stop learning, you should be dead. We all learn no matter what age we are. I've learned for the last 10, 15, 20 years, I've learned so much. It's mind-boggling. And I've learned from people who are a lot younger than I am. You know, because I never thought that I knew everything, but I did know that I needed to know a lot of things. So I'm always looking and listening and learning, because whatever I learn, I'm going to pass it on to you. You know, and whatever you learn, you should also pass it on to someone else also who may get some sort of benefit from what you're trying to tell them. And it's great. It's wonderful. It's Wednesday. Okay. You know what I would love to do someday? Someday I would love to talk at one of these commencements around the United States to graduates. I think I had a chance to do that when my son graduated from eighth grade. It never happened. But hopefully, maybe that's a possibility. I can, you know, talk at his commencement once he's his high school commencement, if I can't even say the word. Anyway, I've been saying it so much, I can't even, commencement. Okay. All right. It's I think I would enjoy that. And I love so much uplifting people, trying to get people to do better in their lives. I know they've probably heard 1,000 speeches from different people, but I can promise them that I would have something different and new and refreshing to say. You know, so if that happens, it happens. If it's, you know, we're going to see if that can happen, because I would love to do that. All righty. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show at 6:06. It's dull. they are talking about more rain on top of rain. And even if it gets into the 70s, the mid 70s over the weekend and the following days, it's still going to be probably short lived with rain. Whether it's, you know, it's just awful, you know. So, and I'm kind of jealous that some people around the United States they're having great weather and we're having this awful weather, you know. And you know what? Everybody out here in the city of Chicago and around the world who's having this type of unseasonable weather, they are sick of it. They are totally sick of it. You know, they're ready for spring. We're ready for summer. We're tired of the rain. We're tired of the grayness. We're tired of it just looking as if the world is coming to an end out here. We want sunshine, right? We want to get out and explore the neighborhood. We want to walk. We want to jog. We want to talk to our neighbors and friends. We can still do that, but you want to do it out in the nature. I mean, I live right here on the lake here, and I'm in my studio, and as so many people know, it's always cooler by the lake. Sometimes it's colder by the lake. But you know what? No matter what the weather is, we have to thank our maker that we've woke up this morning and look at our children and say that we are blessed, you know. All right. Let's see what we got for the show. We have a great guest on the show today, folks. Make sure you tune in for that. Stay tuned for that. All right, George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Negative thoughts that enter your mind do not mind entering if you don't mind. I just love that. I try to say it every day. It's right here on the marquee. And if you go to my website on Black Talk Radio, you will see it. And if you want to use it, go ahead and use it, because that's what it's for, making the world a better place. And always try to be kind to one another, because it is so easy to be kind. It is so easy to be nice. Try to be nice to one another out there, because I think that's what we need in the world today. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio. Okay, we've got some more stuff on Trump. We want you to listen to this. And let me see, do we have that? Can somebody hook that up? Okay, let's try this one. We'll be right back, folks.
To the top 1%.
Oh, that's Bernie Sanders.
He follows in the footsteps of the Trump-Ryan healthcare bill, which gives huge tax breaks to the wealthiest few while throwing 24 million Americans off of their health insurance and dramatically raising premiums for older workers.
This is Bernie Sanders, the senator from Vermont, and he's one of my heroes in Congress. And he's talking about this horrific budget that the Trump people have put forth. And the CBO has said that the budget, Congressional Budget Office has said so many times that this will throw a lot of people off their health care, because it's just ridiculous. And their statistics are 23 million people, million Americans would be thrown off their health care. And this is Bernie Sanders talking about how horrific and just dangerous it is.
Sick and the poor to the top 1%. It follows in the footsteps of the Trump-Ryan healthcare bill, which gives huge tax breaks to the wealthiest few while throwing 24 million Americans off of their health insurance and dramatically raising premiums for older workers. This is a budget which says that if you are the richest family in America, the Walton family, you can get up to a $53 billion tax break through the repeal of the estate tax. $53 billion tax break. But at the same time, it says that if you are a lower income senior citizen, you will not be able to get the one nutritious meal a day you now receive through the Meals on Wheels program or the help you desperately need if you are disabled. This is a budget that says that if you are the second wealthiest family in America, the Koch brothers family, a family that has contributed many hundreds of millions of dollars into the Republican Party, you may get up to a $34 billion tax break. But at the same time, if you are a working class student trying to figure out how you could possibly afford college, your dream of a college education will evaporate because of major cuts to student financial assistance programs. This is a budget which says that if you are a member of the Trump family, you may receive a tax break of up to $4 billion. But if you are a child of a working class family, you could well lose the health insurance you currently have through the Children's Health Insurance Program and massive cuts to Medicaid. At a time when we remain the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all, this budget makes a bad situation worse in terms of health care. In other words, this is a budget that provides massive tax breaks for billionaires and corporate CEOs and massive cuts to programs that tens of millions of struggling Americans depend upon. When Donald Trump campaigned for president, he told the American people that he would be a different type of Republican, that he would take on the political and economics establishment, that he would stand up for working people, that he understood the pain that families all across this country were experiencing. Well, sadly, this budget exposes all of that verbiage for what it really was, just cheap and dishonest campaign rhetoric that was meant to get votes, nothing more than that. At a time when the very rich are already getting much richer, while the middle class continues to shrink, this is a budget for the billionaire class, for Wall Street, for corporate CEOs, and for the wealthiest people in this country. This is a budget which will make it harder for our children to get a decent education, harder for working families to get the health care they desperately need, harder for families to put food on the table, harder to protect our environment, and harder for the elderly to live out their retirement years in dignity. This is a budget that is immoral and that will cause an enormous amount of pain for the most vulnerable people in our nation. This is a budget that will be rejected by the American people and must not see the light of day here in Congress. John Yarmuth is the ranking member of the Budget Committee in the House. John, thanks a lot for being with us.
The budget released today by the Trump administration is shockingly extreme and the antithesis of what the American people have said they want from their government. The president's budget leaves no question about what his administration values: greater gains for millionaires, corporations, and special interests at the expense of American families, economic progress, and our national security. It is a total embrace of the Robin Hood in reverse mentality we saw with the Republican health care repeal bill and the administration's tax proposal, both of which have been overwhelmingly rejected by the American people. This budget actually targets assistance for people with disabilities, cutting Social Security disability insurance, despite the president's pledge to not touch Social Security at all. Yes, the president's budget is a betrayal, a line-by-line tally of broken promises he made to the American people. But above all, it's a trail of broken dreams and the loss of hope and opportunity for millions of families. This budget starts by taking away health care, then food, then housing, then education, then job opportunities. For nearly every American family struggling to get ahead, this budget makes it that much harder, if not impossible. The level of cuts to investments that the American people need is astonishing, and the consequences of these cuts, as Bernie said, are frankly immoral. The Trump administration makes all these harmful cuts for one simple, disgraceful reason: to try to hide the fact that their huge tax breaks for millionaires, corporations, and special interests will explode the debt. And they even do this in a dishonest way. This budget relies on absurd economic projections and pretend revenues that no credible economist would validate. It provides no real information on their tax reform other than to claim that it's revenue neutral. I guess this is the president's believe me part of his budget. If Donald Trump used these budgeting techniques in his business, not even the Russians would invest in his projects. With all due respect to the president, we aren't going to take his word for it, particularly when no one else will. We have been down this road before, more than once, and all the evidence proves is that tax cuts for corporations and the wealthiest Americans do not pay for themselves. Instead, they explode our deficit, rob our country of needed investments, and make those at the top even richer. This is not what the American people want or deserve. The American people do not want us pitting teachers against soldiers or choosing to update tanks over textbooks. They want us to ensure that our military and our American families both have the tools needed for success. In fact, that is our responsibility, and it's also our responsibility to invest in their future and help grow our economy. Education, health care, job training, innovation, and infrastructure, investments that help individuals with nowhere left to turn, and a tax code that helps families get ahead. These are American priorities, and they should be the priorities of the Congress. And now, the pleasure of interviewing.
I have a trick question. After hearing each of them speak, which one is from Brooklyn and which one is from Kentucky? Anyway, it's great to be here. I want to thank our leaders of the Budget Committee, Senator Sanders and Congressman Yarmouth, and thanks to Leader Pelosi, who will be joining us shortly. Now, in case you haven't had time to review the president's budget, let me sum it up for you. The Trump budget takes a sledgehammer to the middle class and to working class Americans, lavishes tax breaks on the wealthy, and imagines all of the deficit problems away with fantasy math. This budget exists somewhere over the rainbow, where the dreams of Mick Mulvaney, Paul Ryan, and the Koch brothers really do come true. But of course, these dreams are a nightmare for the average working American. The Trump budget cuts transportation funding, education funding, programs that help students repay their student debt. One of the greatest burdens on middle-class kids and something that's slowing the country's housing recovery. The Trump budget, which seeks more than $1 trillion in cuts to Medicaid and health care, would decimate health care options for rural Americans, children, seniors, and pull the rug on many of our rural hospitals throughout the country. Now, earlier, our colleague, Senator Cornyn of Texas, stated that this budget is, quote, a proposal of the president's priorities. Well, if that's true, it's clear the president has prioritized breaking his promises to the working people of America. For example, on the campaign trail, he promised over and over again he wouldn't cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. With this budget, he cuts 2 out of 3. He cuts Social Security disability benefits and cuts Medicaid by $1 trillion. The great irony of the Trump agenda is it hurts many of the people who supported him in the campaign. There is no clearer example of this irony than his budget. When you add it all up, the Trump budget is comic book villain bad, and just like comic books, it relies on fantasy to make all the numbers work. It's the kind of budget you might expect from someone who is rooting for a government shutdown. I'm optimistic it'll be roundly rejected by both parties here in the Congress. The way that we can reach a funding agreement in September is to do what we did last month, work together on a bipartisan basis, reject this extreme budget, tell President Trump and Mick Mulvaney to stay out of the negotiations, and come up with a plan that will help the American
more uninsured
and create jobs here at home.
Leader Pelosi. Lord have mercy.
Thank you very much, Leader Schumer. It's an honor to be here with you and the distinguished ranking member of the Senate Budget Committee, as well as the distinguished ranking member of the House Budget Committee. I associate myself with their remarks, which I heard by phone.
And y'all work that out for yourselves. I'm out of it.
Here we are. President Trump's budget is a stark.
Those $2 up there, I mean, you could get you some earphones with those.
To America's hardworking families. Jobs. As his own words, the president promised he would be the greatest job producer that God ever created.
Yeah, I hope you heard that okay. It might have been, the volume might have been down a little bit too low when we got that clip. CBO, Congressional Budget Office, gut punch. Okay, we were talking about the, before we went to this, we were talking about the Trump's budget, and it's a mess. And they're saying that it's 23 million more people, Americans, will be uninsured under this plan. This is crazy. This is crazy. Why are these people doing this? I'm looking at a photograph of a big, wide photograph of Trump and the Republicans, all white, nobody of color, nobody of any other nationality. These are all white men congratulating themselves, patting themselves on the back, smiling, grinning, and laughing because they're going to throw so many people off food stamps, off health care, off Social Security, Medicaid, and they laugh and they're enjoying it. They're all rich. And you wonder, you know, how can they live with themselves? But they do. You wonder, how do they live with themselves? But they do. And it's a shame. And so I'm going to be having some folks on, virtually anyway, talking about this. This is crazy. The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office. Why do they keep doing this? I guess they just hate America. They just they want America to belong to the rich, and they're going to try and take it away from poor people. I mean, from the poor and the middle class. They want America. The rich want America, just like Bruce Rauner, our governor, Illinois governor, wants the state of Illinois. He wants it. And he and his rich buddies, main guy, Ken Griffin, they want to control Illinois. Rauner is not doing this by himself. He got Ken Griffin with him. And they want everything there is about Illinois to control Illinois. Rauner is purposely, I'm talking about the governor of Illinois right now. Rauner is purposely not wanting to work with the Democrats in the General Assembly legislature in Illinois for his own personal reasons. We have been without a budget in the state of Illinois for 3 damn years. 3 years. The legislature in Illinois is controlled by Democrats. And they are trying, believe me, folks, they are trying to work with this guy. He's just finds ways to spin and lie and talk his way out of not working with the Democrats in the legislature because he's not getting what he wants. And what he wants is to gut the middle class, gut unions, gut Chicago public schools even more than what they are. He's gutting them because, you know, he hasn't signed or approved a budget. So the public schools, they don't have money in the state of Illinois. Every state, there's 50 states in America, and every state has a budget. Even with Republican governors, this guy refuses for 3 whole years, making up his own statistics, his own rhetoric, into why he will not have a budget for the state of Illinois. We're the only one. The 49 other states with Republican governors, they have no problem in getting budgets for their states. but not this asshole. He just can't seem to do it. He wants to break this state. That was his plan from the beginning, to break Illinois. And we're not going to let him do that. And like I've said before on the show, this guy wants to run for re-election. He's campaigning. He's got his ads all over the television. Every time I see one, I just come up. I just get the remote and just click it off, because this guy is no way he's going to do a second term in the state of Illinois when he can't even do his job. And his job so far has been in the negative because he has been destroying the state. I mean, you have a lot of social programs. Social agencies are closing their doors, and some have closed their doors months and months and even years ago, because this guy, this is what he wants. This is what he and his partner in crime, Ken Griffin, this is what they want. They want to bring Illinois to its knees and then blame someone else for it. And they think that we're stupid and dumb and naive to believe them. Because I put these guys side by side. Ken Griffin and Bruce Rauner, they've been at this from the start, from the beginning, to break Illinois. And it's broken. It's broken. But he will not work with the General Assembly. They passed a tax hike or something, and he will not work with them. The legislature, they're moving. They're working. They're doing their jobs. But they need the governor to come in on that and get a budget for the state of Illinois. 3 years, three whole years, we've been without a budget. And this guy sitting back laughing, being amused. And that's what he's doing. He's doing Facebook posts. You know, he, instead of, I don't know, instead of giving, having these town hall speeches or giving speeches to the people of Illinois, he's doing Facebook posts and speeches and videos on Facebook. And nobody's watching that. Nobody is paying attention to that. The only people who are watching Rauner on his Facebook posts or videos is the media. The media is watching him because their job is to report on what's going on in Springfield. So it's the media. But grassroots, down the earth people, no. Middle class, no. The poor, no. Because these people are suffering from under this governor. And nothing he says is going to do anything for anybody until he gets up off his fanny and get a budget for this state, which I don't think he's going to get a budget for the state. I think we're going to be without a budget for his entire reign as governor. So the best thing that we can do is probably, you know, throw in the towel on getting a budget for the state of Illinois. And one other thing we can do, we can get out here in 2018 and vote. And vote. You have to vote for your representative and you have to vote for your senator. You know, it has to be done or this state will be ruined. It's just about ruined now, but this guy is saying it's someone else's fault. It's no one else's fault but the governor of Illinois. Okay, let's get back to the 23 million fewer Americans would have health care coverage under Obama repeal plan. Budget office confirms fewer Americans. The new congressional budget office analyst looks a lot like the old one. In other words, they didn't do anything to try to make it better. to try to make it better. I'm pretty sure there's some details down here if I can get this computer to work properly. You know, okay, we're going to do this again. 23 million fewer Americans will have insurance under the legislation that the House of Representatives narrowly passed last month, the Congressional Budget Office reported on Wednesday. Okay, the agency also predicted that the deficit would come down about $119 billion over the next decade, and that premiums for people buying insurance on their own will be relatively lower than those premiums would be if the Affordable Care Act stays in place. I don't know. I really don't know. I've said before that they're going to try to throw people off Medicaid. They're going to try to throw people off their health insurance. It's just awful. And who knows? These guys might get away with it. They might get away with it. So it's astonishing to me. Okay. Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act, President Obama's signature domestic policy achievement, brought the number of Americans without insurance to a record low. And Republicans, they're going to make it higher. You know, a higher amount of people will be thrown off their health insurance because of this. And the Republicans are standing around laughing, giving themselves high five, knowing that they're going to kill grandma, they're going to kill granddaddy. And they're standing around, they're doing the same thing as Rauner is doing, blaming other people for it. Republicans' math on anything, on any budget, on any bill, is 2 + 2 = 7. That's their fuzzy numbers. That's the numbers they come up with. And then they try to throw that crap out to the public. Yeah, some people swallow it up. But I think most intelligent, bright, and level-headed people know better. They know better. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here all over the place, folks. And like I said before, it is great. It's just the bad news is just the Affordable Care Act that these guys are trying to get through Congress, and the budget, it just makes you want to puke at the way the Republicans put this stuff together. And Donald Trump is eager to sign this crap, but they probably have told him that it has to go through both houses of Congress and be voted on in a positive manner before it gets to his desk. I'm pretty sure Donald Trump is probably learning all about the Constitution on the job. And I'm pretty sure like a lot of Republicans don't pay attention to the Constitution. They break the laws of the Constitution and they get away with it. Like Bruce Rauner and the state of Illinois. The Illinois Constitution clearly says that a governor of this state is responsible for having an annual budget. We haven't had a budget for 3 years. So he's breaking the law of the Constitution, the Illinois Constitution, and he's getting away with it. Now, if that was a Democratic governor in the state of Illinois breaking the law of the Constitution, Republicans will be calling for this governor, this Democratic governor, to be impeached. Dems aren't calling for Rauner to be impeached. I think he should be impeached. He's wrecking the state. And the Democrats are sitting back letting him do it. You know, without a budget, he's not paying his bills. He's not paying the state's bills. And when you're not paying the state's bills, his bills, you're trying to cripple the state. You're trying to do damage to the state by not having a budget in place. And that's what he's done. should be thrown the hell out of office. And I don't know why the Democrats who have majorities in both houses in Illinois will not stand up against this governor, say, you are breaking the law of the Constitution. And anytime you break the law of the Constitution or you go against the Constitution, you should be, articles of impeachment should be drawn up immediately. But as we always said, you know, the Democrats, they have no backbone. They are weak. You know, they are weak. They have no backbone. They have all the right ideas. They have all the details. They have everything you and I and the rest of Illinois. We all on the, in other words, folks, we're all on the same page, the Democrats. But when it comes to things like lying, they have no backbone. They're weak. They are weak. The toughness is not there. I mean, you can listen to a Democrat talk all day long in the legislature, but it's good talk. But the thing is, it's just talk. It's time the Democrats get some muscle, some backbone. Get out here and just hold these Republicans by the fire. Instead of just letting the Republicans do what they want to, run roughshod over the Democrats, especially here in the state of Illinois, because that's all they're doing. The Republicans are running roughshod over the Democrats with this Republican governor. Oh, yeah, the Democrats, they get on television and they talk about, yeah, it's the governor's fault. Yeah, the governor's not working with us. Yeah, the governor's making all of this stuff up. Then why don't you draw up impeachment papers? You have the majority. It's nothing Rauner can do. It's nothing that the Republicans in the legislature can do because they're in the minority. Use your majority. You got majorities in both houses. Use your majority. Rauner knows, Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, he knows that the Democrats in the legislature who control the Illinois legislature are weak. Are weak. That's why he's making these laughable campaign commercials that are flooding the airwaves and laughing at Democrats because he knows that they're weak. They're not going to stand up to him. Democrats have always been weak. The Republicans bully their asses all over the place, even though the Democrats have the right message. But they just have the message. They do not know how to roll up their sleeves and get down in the gutter with the Republicans. This is why Democrats lose. The voters want lawmakers with some guts, with some muscle. That's what the voters want. They don't want no weak-ass politician who always caving in to the wrong side of the aisle. That's what we have in Democrats. They are so weak. Some of them are just plain old cowardly. And then when you see them out in the street, they act like as they act as if there's if they're God's gift to Congress or the Democratic legislature in Illinois. Democrats, they got to show some backbone. Stop being weak. Stop letting the Republicans push them around and get something done. Bruce Rauner is breaking the Illinois Constitution because we have not had a budget in 3 years. This is the first time this has ever happened in the state of Illinois. And if you ask Bruce Rauner, if you hear him talking, he tries to justify not having a budget in the state of Illinois. Not having a budget means the public schools are going to close and not open on time for the children. They may even go bankrupt. They are damn near there right now. But he doesn't care. He's blaming the Democrats. The Democrats are trying to meet him halfway. He's turning his back and walking in another direction. And then saying it's their fault. They're trying to work with this guy. This is why I said they should stop trying to work with Rauner, because he's not going to work with you. He's going to be making up all kind of crap to say, spin, lies, and blame it on you. It's time for the Democrats to act in the legislature in Illinois and just draw up article of impeachment on this guy, throwing him out of office. They have every reason, but they only need one. And that one reason for him to be thrown, kicked out of the governor's mansion in Springfield is that he's not doing his job. The man is not doing what he was elected to do, or I don't know. He bought the office. He's trying to buy Illinois again. You know, I mean, the Democrats just have to stand up and stop being weak. The people are on their sides. The people are on their side. The people who are on Rauner's side, they're rich. One of the things I never understood, why does millionaires and billionaires, why do they want to step on poor people and working people? Why are some of these millionaires and billionaires taking money from social programs that are utilized by poor people, by the middle class, taking that money away from those programs and giving it to themselves and their friends who happen to be millionaires and billionaires? Why is that? I mean, it's like Robin Hood in reverse. Take from the poor, give to the rich. Instead of taking from the rich and giving to the poor, it's vice versa. Why, every time I look at this photograph of Donald Trump and all those white Republicans gathered around him, smiling and high-fiving each other and grinning and laughing and being as happy as they can be, you know, as if they, you know, won the lottery or something, kicking people out in the street, kicking people off food stamps, kicking people off insurance rolls, kicking, gutting Social Security, gutting Medicaid, gutting food stamps. And they stand around laughing and grinning, and people going to be starving to death and dying in the street. And, and they're laughing. This is fun. This is great. And I've said this 1,000 times. Donald Trump conned and lied his way into the White House. Because every promise that he espoused during his campaign, every promise that he promised to do while president, most of it has been dealt with. He just lied and conned his way in the White House. He's a carnival barker. He's a businessman. He's a liar. He lied to majority of the things that Donald Trump said. I agree with Bernie Sanders. The majority of things that Donald Trump said on the campaign trail were just lies. He lied through his teeth. Everything that he said, you can go back and look at all those tapes, at all of his rallies. He's loud and boisterous and bullying, but a lot of those things he just said to get votes, and a lot of people swallowed it. He said a lot of things just to get your vote, because with the enactment of this American Care Act, the majority of the people that's going to be hurt by a lot of this stuff is the people who voted for him. Donald Trump doesn't give a damn that you voted for him. Too bad. He's president. Too bad for you. That's what he would say. Oh, they voted for me. Too bad. I'm president now, so I'm going to do what the hell I want to do. But they voted for you, Donald. Well, too bad. They can go straight to hell. I'm going to do what I want. Everything that he's doing is hurting the people who voted for him, hurting those voters. And they know it. They are a great part of the 23 million people who are going to be thrown off health care if this thing passes the Senate. And they know it. If his budget passes, they are going to be a large majority of the people who are going to be thrown off Medicaid, Social Security, disability. The people who voted for him. They're going to be a majority of the people getting thrown off food stamps. His voters, they voted for him. They voted for him. He doesn't care. Donald Trump and the Republicans who are aiding and abetting this guy, Donald Trump does not give a damn about you. Donald Trump cares about Donald Trump. Donald Trump wants to make Donald Trump look good. He doesn't care about making you look good. He doesn't care about your life. He cares about himself. Donald Trump is so stuck on himself and stuck on people who are like him. He doesn't give a shit about you or me. He's said it in so many ways, especially if you're a critic. Donald Trump is not president of all Americans. He's only president of those Americans who are rich like he is. He's president of those Americans who will kiss his ass, lick his feet the way he wants them to. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm on a rant here, folks. All right, we've been talking about the budget. We're going to do this one, too. We'll be right back.
Today, the president will release his full budget for fiscal year 2018. From all indications, the Trump budget will seek deep cuts to programs that help the middle class and working America while providing more handouts for the rich. It will cut to the bone programs that help the elderly, the poor, while adding money for an unnecessary, ineffective border wall that continues to have bipartisan opposition. And to make all of the math work, the Trump budget makes entirely unfounded assumptions about economic growth. In short, the Trump budget takes a sledgehammer to the middle class and the working poor, lavishes tax breaks on the wealthy, and imagines all of the deficit problems away with fantasy math. The Trump budget exists somewhere over the rainbow, where the dreams of Mick Mulvaney, Paul Ryan, and the Koch brothers really do come true. Of course, these dreams are a nightmare for the average working American. We expect the Trump budget will make deep cuts to the National Institute of Health and Centers for Disease Control. Let me ask, how many people in America want to cut cancer research when it's done such good? Well, President Trump evidently does. It's his budget. They kneecap research that develops new cures, damaging our ability to contain or prevent the outbreak of disease. We're all living longer and healthier, in part because of this research. We want to stop it, cut it back, so we can give tax breaks to wealthy people who, God bless them, are doing great already. We expect the Trump budget will gash programs like Meals on Wheels. I even read in the paper this morning that the head of the Freedom Caucus said that even for him, some of these cuts were too great. The SNAP benefits, helping making sure no kid goes to bed hungry in America. This is America. We've always done this. And the Children's Health Insurance Program, cruelly ripping away the lifelines from Americans who need the most, the children, the working poor, the elderly. We expect the Trump budget will cut transportation funding, education funding, and programs that help students repay their student loan debt.
One of the great problems in America, the debt on the backs, the burden of average kids getting out of college, middle-class kids. We're going to make it harder? What is going on here? What is going on in the White House with this kind of budget? Our college kids, when they get out, they need to be able to live real good lives and not have this burden of debt on their shoulders, which they're struggling under now, and we're going to make it worse. We also, this is amazing but true, the Trump budget will break President Trump's promise to protect Social Security and Medicaid from cuts, both of them. He promised over and over again he wouldn't cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Medicare is not cut here, but Medicaid is, and Social Security is. On Social Security, the budget will cut Social Security disability benefits to many Americans who have earned them and paid for those benefits. And you can say, well, doesn't cut old age benefits for the elderly. Wait. If they get away with this, the elderly will be next on the chopping block, because the goal, it seems, of this budget is cut everything you can so you can give even more tax breaks to the wealthiest people. The Koch brothers type of thinking. It will also seek hundreds of billions of dollars, additional cuts in Medicaid. The budget cuts Medicaid on top of the cuts that were made in the House bill of Trump Care. And what'll that do? Medicaid has become a middle-class program. 60% of the people in nursing homes, Medicaid funds it. What are we going to tell a couple with three kids? Say they're 40 or 45.
You got to cut that apart. Cut
that
off.
They have three kids. They're saving for college. They're struggling. But at least they know that mom or dad who needs help is in a nursing home.
Take your time and do it right.
This budget passes, that family is going to have a terrible choice.
You're an adult. Act like one.
Take hundreds of dollars a month out of their own budget and give it to pay for the nursing home.
Take your time. That damn video game ain't going
find a place for mom and dad to live, maybe at home, but maybe there's no room in the house. Awful. That's what they're doing. And who else will hurt? Opioid addiction. Much of our progress that we're trying to make on opioid addiction comes through Medicaid.
Okay, walk around, see what they feel like.
We need both law enforcement. I'm a tough law enforcement guy, you know that. But we also need treatment.
They should be.
I've had fathers cry in my arms.
Like you flapping in the back.
Because their sons, in this case it was both sons.
You probably got to tie them up
for treatment and died of an overdose. What a burden a parent has to live with. We should cut that and cut it to give more tax breaks to the rich. It's in America turned upside down, this budget.
Pull
and how about rural areas?
No.
You know, I represent New York State. It's known for its big city, New York City. We have other great cities upstate. But we also have the third largest rural population in America. Okay. So I'm very familiar with rural America. In many of my counties in upstate New York, and this is true throughout rural counties, throughout America, the largest employer is the rural hospital.
They're probably for me.
And that hospital is the only hospital around for miles and miles and miles. If God forbid you have a stroke, you've got to be rushed there to make yourself get yourself better. Well, go talk to our rural hospitals. These rural hospitals, which are the beating heart of our local economy, employing hundreds, sometimes even thousands of people. Well, nearly one in three rural hospitals today are at risk of closure. It's more expensive to run a rural hospital. People in rural areas are entitled to the same health care, so that means buying all these fancy machines. In an urban area, those machines can run 24-7 and get the reimbursement back. But in a rural area, they can't. There's not that many people.
That's what I got. You going to call her?
But they get some help.
The
Trump cuts to Medicaid would cause a whole bunch of these rural hospitals to close and many more to lay off employees, hurting health care in rural America and hurting jobs in rural America, places that need help. The Trump budget, on top of Trump Care, which seeks more than $800 billion in cuts to Medicaid, would decimate health care options for rural Americans and pulled a plug on many of these rural hospitals, and some of my colleagues will be talking more about that this morning. When you add all of it up, Mr. President, when you add all of it up, the Trump budget is comic book villain bad. And just like comic books, it relies on a fantasy to make all the numbers work. It's the kind of budget you might expect from someone who is openly rooting for a government shutdown. Haven't we heard the president say that? It's the latest example of the president breaking his promises to working Americans. This budget breaks promise after promise after promise that the president made to the what he called the forgotten America, the working men and women of America. And he said he'd help them, and this budget goes directly against them. In a speech to Congress, for instance, earlier this year, the president called education, quote, the civil rights issue of our time, but his budget guts vital school programs, our future, our kids. He said, quote, cures to illness have always been plagued, this is the president's quote, cures to illnesses that have always plagued us are not too much to hope, quote. But his budget slashes funding for NIH and CDC, where they do this research. And he said, quote, save Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security without cuts, have to do it, unquote. But his budget would cut Social Security disability insurance and end Medicaid as we know it. The Trump budget is one giant, brazen, broken promise to the working men and women of America. It completely abandons them. Fundamentally, this is a deeply unserious proposal that should roundly be rejected by both parties here in Congress. I'm optimistic that that's what will happen. We should follow the same blueprint we did in the 2017 budget. Both Democrats and Republicans, House and Senate, in a bipartisan way, everyone compromises. We should get together, negotiate a serious proposal that maintains our commitments to the middle class and actually sets our economy up to grow. We cannot let the president so turn America inside out with his budget. We have to stand together, Democrats and Republicans, and reject it for the sake of middle class and working Americans. The Trump budget.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard. So fighting non-violently.
Is, you got to come directly here. You got to come directly here, get ready, and then you can go.
All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Sorry for the dead air. We were talking about Trump and his budget. It's a mess, but, you know, I agree with Chuck Schumer. I don't think it's going to get anywhere. And at least I know not the Senate, maybe the House, but I don't know. But it shouldn't get nowhere in either house, the House of Representatives nor the Senate in Congress. It should be dead on arrival, as I've heard and suspect that Lindsey Graham thinks the same thing, Senator Lindsey Graham. So it's an awful budget. It's a terrible budget. Like Chuck said, it breaks every promise that he ever gave.
And it's just awful. He's going to cut these programs, annihilate these programs, want to cut and annihilate these programs to pay for money for his wall. That's ridiculous. A wall to keep them, to keep the illegals out. I mean, how, I mean, if someone wants to get in this country, they're going to get in this country, wall or no wall. They can dig a 10-foot hole beneath that wall and just crawl on in to America. And most of the states along the U.S. border, they object to a wall. And Trump has said many times that this is another broken promise. And there has been quite a few, This is another broken promise. He said many times that Mexico was going to pay for the wall. I mean, he must have said it 100 times. And Mexico shot back and said, we're not paying for no wall. But why would somebody constantly saying Mexico was going to pay for the wall, as if Mexico negotiated with him on paying for a wall to keep their people out of America? That was loony to say that, to say that Mexico was going to pay for a wall, like he's going to go over there, go over to Mexico and strong arm Mexico, the leaders of Mexico, and make them pay for a wall. Trump is delusional. This guy is delusional, and it shows every time he opens his mouth. He's a liar. He's a con man. He's a carnival barker. He lied himself into office. He lied into office. A lot of people fail for a lot of that stuff. I have to admit, some of it sounded pretty good, you know, but I knew that I wasn't about to vote for this guy. You know, a lot of people, weak-minded people, crazy people, uneducated people, loonies went out there and voted for this guy. And now he's coming after the people who voted for him by the means of this budget and the means of Trump care. He's going to throw people off like crazy. The ones who voted for him, and this guy, he wants to run again. He wants to run again, just like Bruce Rauner. They are these guys who are awful politicians and liars, carnival barkers and spin masters. They want to run again while doing a good job or not doing a job at all. And they think that the American people are going to be crazy for a second time. They think that the American people are going to be asleep for a second time while taking away their health care, their means of survival, because he wants to build a wall to keep out women and children of Mexico who don't have anything. Poor women, poor impoverished people from Mexico, put it that way. He wants to keep them out. So he's going to keep them out by building a wall on the backs of the poor and the middle class here. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And he's got his butt over there in the Middle East or wherever he is now, a 9-day trip trying to, I think he ran over there because all these investigations and his budget and healthcare bill, people are going to be slamming it. I think he decided to leave the United States on a, because he wanted to get some air reprieve from all the negativity that's going on over here about him in every way there, every shape there is. But this budget is serious, folks. That's why I keep talking about it. And I agree with Chuck. I mean, this is just ridiculous. You know, just like the state of Illinois, we haven't had a budget in 3 years. We get these Republican politicians and they just, you know, just destroy everything that it took us decades to build. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's do this one. We'll be right back.
So now you guys know James Comey was the director of the FBI. Donald Trump fired him and later made a terrible mistake by admitting on national TV that he fired him because of his Russian investigation. That right there could be obstruction of justice. But we have a new twist in the story, and this one is monumentally important. So it turns out James Comey had a habit of taking memos immediately after all important meetings, especially obviously with the president. So he'd been doing this all the way back when he worked for the Bush administration, and he had taken some memos on what they wanted him to do on warrantless wiretapping, which he didn't want to authorize. And when the Bush administration challenged them on it, they got those memos, and Robert Mueller, then the head of the FBI, also had taken a memo, and it corroborated what Comey was saying. So that was how he won that battle. So now we find out Comey's got a memo about a meeting that he had with Donald Trump on February 14th, where he basically asked him to drop the Mike Flynn investigation. Uh-oh, that's obstruction of justice. So let me back up a little bit here and give you a tiny bit more context. Now, the famous dinner that Comey and Trump had was on January 27th. That's where he asked for the loyalty pledge from James Comey, and Comey wouldn't give it. Now, that was one day after Trump found out that the FBI was investigating Mike Flynn and was about to have a conversation with him about his calls with the Russian ambassador. So a day after he finds out there's a Flynn investigation, Trump then asks Comey to come to dinner and tells him to take a promise him loyalty and to stop the Russian investigations. Okay, so then on February 14th, he has a national security meeting. At the end of the meeting, he asks everybody to leave except James Comey, asks him to stay. Now that is one day after Mike Flynn had been let go because it turns out he did call the Russian ambassador and did talk to him about sanctions and had lied about it. So again, Trump, one day after the latest revelations about Mike Flynn, panics, has Comey in, and apparently, according to memo, James Comey's memo at the time, not now, he wrote the memo at the time, Trump said, "I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go, to letting Flynn go. He's a good guy. I hope you can let this go." That is asking the FBI director to drop an active investigation on someone who was his national security advisor. It's obvious that Mike Flynn knows something very, very important about Trump's connections to Russia. According to White House officials, Donald Trump has been trying to reach Mike Flynn ever since he was fired. And everybody keeps telling him, you're not allowed to call Mike Flynn because that would be witness tampering. He's a witness in your possible collusion case with Russia, and he's under investigation. You can't talk to him. He desperately wants to talk to Flynn. He desperately wants to end the Flynn investigation, and apparently he has the FBI director. Now, Comey apparently has memos of every meeting and phone call he had with Donald Trump that he recorded at the time and made sure that it was put into the record at the time, okay? He did not share it with the people investigating Trump on Russia because he didn't want to influence that investigation, but he kept it just in case in the records just so that if a situation like this came up, they would know that he didn't say it afterwards. He didn't say it after he was fired. He actually had written that memo at the time. Now, Jason Chaffetz, who's one of the persons who's supposed to investigate Donald Trump in the House, he's a Republican and he'd been reluctant to do that, just said, "I've got my subpoena pen ready," saying that if that memo exists, as the New York Times is reporting today, I'm going to subpoena it and I'm going to find out what's on it, and we're going to find out if Comey actually did say that at the time, because that is a massive legal problem for Donald Trump. And the other big problem is one that he brought about, which is that he admitted, he said, "Oh, Comey better, you know, hope that there aren't tapes of our conversations." Does that mean that Trump was taping? As we told you on the show yesterday, Trump has a habit of taping conversations that goes back decades, and everybody knows this. If he was taping those Comey meetings, and it turns out Comey's right about what Trump said in those meetings, well, he's toast. Obstruction of justice, and he's got to go. And now at the same time, Roger Stone going out there and putting out a theory, very connected to Trump, that Trump might have Alzheimer's. No one in the press was saying that until Roger Stone, confidant of Trump, put that in there. And he said, now some people are saying he's insane. Nobody said that until you brought it up. is that setting up a legal defense for Donald Trump because they know he's toast? I don't know, but the Comey memo is deeply, deeply problematic for Donald Trump, and this thing could be over a lot quicker than we anticipated. So
yeah,
he's on the ropes. I know that people think he can get out of anything. I don't think that's the case at all. I think he's incompetent. I think that he keeps damaging his own chances by admitting things he shouldn't admit, and I think that kind of incompetence is going to be exposed, and he's in a world of trouble. Mike Pence. Yeah.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
Yeah, I don't know if he's in a world of trouble, but I know he's in trouble. And will he be impeached? I have no idea. At first, I thought it was going to be a slam dunk for impeachment for totally obstruction of justice, and Trump, you know, actually incriminating himself by saying, yes, things did happen, when his surrogates were saying, no, it did not happen. So Trump doesn't know that he's probably incriminating himself. And one of the things, if I was a lawyer, I would not want to be Trump's lawyer, because Trump doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut. I mean, when you defending somebody, if you're a lawyer and you're defending someone who's guilty of some sort of a crime or alleged crime, the first thing you want to tell your client is to don't say anything to anybody. Because you could, you know, you could perjure yourself, or you could, you know, taint the jury or whatever. But Trump, he just unloads, you know, and that's what's got him in a lot of trouble. So he decided to take a hiatus and go over to the Middle East to try to, you know, hopefully get the narrative changed. And Trump knows how to change the narrative, no matter how he does something to change what you're talking about him at that current moment. But I still think that he's in deep doo-doo here in the United States, because there's 3 or 4 investigations going on. You know, he's overseas. Some people say he's over there embarrassing us, and some people saying he's over there doing a good job, but it doesn't matter. I mean, Congress still has to get to the bottom of what went on and who colluded with who, you know, and Trump's tweets. This is ridiculous. He's going to tweet classified information. And there's no doubt about it. If you don't get to the bottom of this right now with the Trump administration, Trump is going to do this again. I mean, this is classic Donald Trump. I mean, you hear those speeches that Donald Trump is doing overseas. That's not Donald Trump. The mild, the tone, the calming down, that's not Donald Trump. That's not what people voted for. They voted for the voice, the yelling, the screaming, the obnoxiousness, the conning, the lying. That's what people voted for. When you hear Trump being talking, it's not even presidential. He sounds like a child, you know. And to me, he sounds like a child when he tries to be presidential. He sounds like a child. You can see you can feel that whimpering tone in his voice as he tries to speak, you know. So the George Wilder Jr. Show has probably been dedicated to the Trump budget, because it's going to hit everyone. If you're not rich, it's going to hit you. I mean, if you're going to work every day, it's going to hit you. If you're struggling to take care of your family, it's going to hit you. If you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay for college or get to go to a college, it's going to hit you. It's going to bother you. Everyone should be concerned about everything, every budget, every proposal that this guy puts forth. Even if it doesn't pass the muster, even if it doesn't pass, even if it's DOA on arrival, still in all, he had the nerve and the gall to do these things. And that tells you a lot about him and what he actually thinks about the American people. You, I, people who are school teachers, you plumbers, electricians, engineers. If you work for a living, this budget is not for you. It doesn't matter what your income is. If you work for a living, this budget is going to hurt you. But they don't care because he's trying. Wow, the wind is really up. The wind is blowing. I'm here in my studio looking out the window here, folks, and the wind is very high. I mean, people are blowing all over the place, you know, and this is supposed to be spring. Not on my watch. But anyway, this budget is going to hurt a lot of people, and that's not right. That is not right. And some of the things that this guy is doing and his administration is doing is not right. I'm pretty sure that the budget is not all Trump. I'm pretty sure a lot of people around him are helping him to craft it or helped him to craft this monstrosity that's going to wreck America. You know what he talked about in his campaign? He talked about making America great again. That was just a lie. That was just a con, because nothing he's done or said or implemented has made America great. Great again. If anything, he's ruined this country. As you ever noticed, now that he's president, that he never says, make America great again, because he never intended it in the first place. No one in his administration, on his team, has said anything about making America great again since Trump has been elected. Because they knew it was a lie. They knew it was a con. And too many Americans fell for it. That's why he's in office today. Actually, Hillary Clinton, there's no doubt about this, and this is no lie. Hillary Clinton received 3 million votes with the popular vote. She won the election with the popular vote, but she lost it in the electoral vote, which is crazy to me. That's nutty, but that's in the Constitution. She virtually won the election. Donald Trump, I have a feeling Donald Trump wish she had won the election. There are so many people saying, well, he wished she would. Donald Trump didn't even know he was going to win. He thought he was going to lose. Hell, the majority of Americans thought he was going to lose. I thought he was going to lose. I mean, when I heard the next morning after the election, Donald Trump, the president, I couldn't believe my eyes. I was so pissed off at the media for deceiving me. And I think that's where Donald Trump and his team coined the phrase fake news, because even they thought they were going to lose. I mean, I was so pissed off at the media. I said, I'm not going to listen to these guys no more. They were totally off the mark. But I mean, you think about it, were they actually totally off the mark? I mean, Hillary Clinton received almost 3 million votes. Trump didn't come nowhere near 3 million votes. But, you know, he got the popular vote. Some people say he was in these states and, you know, and a lot of his henchmen were, they had hijacked these states for those votes. I don't know if that's true. I'm just... You know, but anyway, Hillary got 3 million. So you really can't say that the media was wrong or that wrong. But believing in polls is not always the way to go. I've learned that, you know, I learned that, but I don't dismiss them. I don't rely on them totally, especially after the 2016 election. You know, we've got Trump now, and I've said about, I think I said this 4 or 5 months ago, I said, we should give the guy a chance, give him a chance. I mean, yeah, give him a chance. I mean, if he won fair and square, some people say he cheated. Some people, I think he just lied his way in the office. I mean, I think he conned a lot of those folks out there who call themselves his supporters that Hillary called deplorable. And it was it was the electoral votes that put him over the top. And that's why he keeps going around saying fake news. That's why he has a war with the media. Basically, his war with the media is that the media reports the truth, and his team, they don't like that. They don't like for the media to report the truth, because the truth will burn them. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Instagram. Do I have an Instagram account? I better check that out. I believe I do. But you can always Google me and find out more about me, and go to my Amazon page. I have plenty of fiction material up there, and it's good stuff. It's good stuff. It'll take you away for a while, take you away from the craziness for a while, and you can have some fun with those things that I've written. And I'm constantly writing all the time. You know, whenever I'm not on the show, if I get some time, I'm writing. I'm always writing. I love writing. I'm going to keep doing it because it's fun. And if you want to be a writer, if someone's out there that you know, the only thing you need to be a writer, the only thing actually you need to do to be a writer is write. that's it. What is a writer? A writer is a person who writes, right? And if you don't think you have the knack for writing and you want to write, hey, wow, there's plenty of schools out here, writing schools. There's plenty of people out here that you can get to tell you a little bit about writing. Is writing a quick way to get rich? Is writing a quick way to make a living? It can be, but it's tough. You got to keep at it. You got to keep putting out good stuff, and hopefully you'll get noticed. Writing can be lucrative. A lot of people do make good money at it. A lot of people do make a living at it. And then there are those people who don't. Most of the people who don't make money at it, they say, well, I'm going to give up. I can't do nothing with it. You know, it's tough, because one of the things about writing is that just about everybody's doing it. I mean, you've got over 250 million books being published each year. 250 books, ebooks, books, paperbacks, hardbacks, you name it, Kindle, published each year. And it's so easy nowadays to get a book published, it's almost sin. It is very, very easy to self-publish, and sell a lot of books, self-publishing. You don't have to go to a traditional publisher anymore to get your book published. You don't have to go out and find some sleazy literary agent to get your book published, because all of these people want is one thing. They want your money. They will tell you that your book is great. What you got is great. Even if it's garbage, they will tell you that your book is great. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. And they're going to do everything they can to make sure it's published and to make sure people buy it and to get you 100 reviews, book reviews. All they want is your money. I've had people come up to me on Facebook and some other social networking sites telling me how they're going to promote my book and put my book on all of these literary sites and other book sites and all this kind of thing. And they're going to put my book on Facebook. They're going to put it on LinkedIn, as if I'm not doing that already, right? And how they're going to advertise my book and get it. A lot of that stuff has been scams. It's people who are out to try to make a quick buck off you, especially writers, because most people feel that you love writing, and they're gonna take advantage of your love for writing and try to make money off that. They know that you want to be published. They know that you want to get the that you want to be famous, that you want to make a lot of money. They know this. So they, you know, come up with some sort of schemes to try to, you know, play on your love of writing to try to make money off you. So, you know, I've had that happen, and I just tell them to go straight to hell when they come to me with that kind of thing, you know. So it goes back to being careful out there, watching who you deal with, watching, paying attention to what people are saying so you don't get your bank account drained by a lot of these people who are trying to scam you because of your love of writing, for your love of writing. They're out there. Watch yourself. This is a mean world.
Bombs begin to fall. Anyone who never saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw.
We got a few more minutes left, a few more seconds left into the show. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank everybody for podcasting the show. I want to thank everybody for listening, taking your time to listen. You listen because you want to. And that's great. That's wonderful. And I do appreciate that. Always making changes at this show. So if something on the show that you have a question about or something that is questionable, don't be afraid to inbox me, call me, email me, and complain about it. All right. Thanks for listening, folks. We will be on tomorrow. I hope to see you here. Bye-bye, everybody.